aligns with my values. And I mean, part of that is because I have been with this organization for almost 2 decades, right? So that has shaped my values, but I also think that it's just a really good fit for me.
I highly agree with that, because I'm like that kind of personality. It's like, I refuse to do things that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do things that it doesn't fit me.
I spent too much time doing that.
Oh, really?
You know, like, I mean, just like working jobs to make rent to survive. That I sort of lost my tolerance for that pretty early on.
I totally understand. I feel like no matter what you do, you kind of have to sacrifice something, mm-hmm. especially at the early stage of life, right? Where, like, if I choose to do what I do, then there's an opportunity cost, right?
Yep.
So then I either have to put up with less payment for the early stage, or I have to refuse a lot of potential opportunities. But from my experiences, I know I'm like not senior enough in life, but then from my life experiences, it does pay back later on if you just hold on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially now the world is changing, right? You never know like how much value it really put in the rest of your life by persistently and consistently just trying to do things that help you to find yourself, right? Mm. So at one point, it's really like Naval said, it's an entrepreneur and an investor. And I think I highly agree with this, is where, like, at the current era, what make you win the game in life is to do something that's just you being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, nobody is being able to compete with you and use some tools. Like now we have so many leverage and tools like social media, like your phone, right? And then AI, and it also everything becomes so easy to use. Then more people find you for who you are, and you are the only one and the best one to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think that it's also huge for like my mental health to be able to, like, again, every day I finish work and I'm never like, oh my God, I can't believe I had to do that all day.
Mm.
Like, oh, like I had to repress some part of myself in order to fit in, or I had to do something that doesn't align with my morals, but it's part of the job. And so I had to do it. And, you know, earlier in my life, like in my 20s, I was working jobs that I didn't like, but I needed money.
Mm.
I needed to pay rent, and I really struggled with my mental health, and with at the end of the day being like, I don't feel good about what I'm doing for 8 hours a day, right? Whereas these days I almost always feel really good about what happened.
I'm motivated
during my day, and I'm motivated to keep doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in Chinese we call it like emotional value, where like, let's say something that provides you real value, right? Even like a person, like, let's say it was used a lot in this kind of romantic relationship, or how do you choose your romantic partner? It's where like, oh, I find this guy or girl provide me something. Let's say they're very financially supportive or strong. And then at the early stage, I'm just going to rely on this person. But then you probably feel miserable because this person is like 50 years older than you.
Sure,
like,
or you're with them for a reason other than
you actually appreciate it.
Authentically connect, yeah.
Yeah, authentically connect. I think that's, now more people find more ways to be themselves and be able to make a living. People start to realize, I think that situation was more of like for female, right? Because female, in at least Asian society or the world, unfortunately, was like lack of the opportunities and a stage for us to be able to see, oh, we actually can make a living by the opportunity. But now, fortunately, though, as I'm one of them, got educated, and then having so many space, having so much support to be able to try and be able to contribute the value to the society and connect to the market directly, so that instead of finding people or things that can just feed me, I think I wanted more. I wanted more to make myself feel like, how do you say, like watered, I would say. It's just feel like I'm
sure.
a plant.
Yeah, like you're nourished, maybe.
Nourished, yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a plant, right? It's just like, oh, it actually, I feel nourished, right? And then, and nowadays, they actually make me more like bright, right? Otherwise, I just die out. But then, you see your face is right. Like, I think in Chinese, they call it 面相. I'm not so sure, but like, it's like a facial sort of like, how to say, if you feel positive and your face is like this.
You kind of like have, open. People might say that like you're glowing,
glowing,
right?
Or
something like that, yeah.
And do you have the description of the opposite side of like glowing? Is where like you're like, you feel sad. It's like kind of, oh, this person is rich or living this like kind of luxurious life, but this person
but they're not happy.
They're not right? happy.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I know the...
Yeah, let me know when
word,
you...
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I was like, because now people start to, especially a lot of girls, they start to talk about this, and they start to be like, oh, maybe this is not that great to just marry a rich person. First off, a lot of girls feel like I can be rich myself. Mm-hmm. But then secondly, it's more of like they realize, or we realize, that you only live once.
Yeah.
So how do you feel is literally how you feel alive.
Yeah, well, and also, like, I don't think it's smart to tie your entire, like, well-being to someone else, right? Like, I think you want to make sure that you independently are able to be okay.
Right.
And that you're not, like, dependent on some outside force or person or whatever, right?
But it's hard.
Of course, but that's, life's hard.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's what we're talking about. It's like you kind of have to make choice, mm-hmm. right? But I think this is kind of like the pathway where if you do put minds and effort into it, but in the first stage, if you choose to go on your own way, not like saying lying on the bed and doing nothing, but like you do your own way, you still work, right? You work hard, but then you probably didn't go the route that the other people or the rich boss designed for you. And then you choose this way, but it's harder because you don't get paid or rewarded immediately. But maybe as you go on the path further, then you start to find that you feel better, and then you get rewarded later on the path. Mm-hmm. Versus another one is more like, I guess, immediate stability and safety.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, everybody has their own priorities and their own things that make them happy or whatever. You know, for some people, just marrying a rich guy might be the way that they are happiest, right? But I think that it's important to know that, like, no one has had your life before, right? Like, no one has been you before. And so there can be lots of suggestions for how other people did things.
Mm.
But the only right way to do it for you is the way that works for you. Right.
That's very deep. Could you elaborate a little bit? Because I feel like I get it, but then I can't explain that for you.
Sure. So I just mean that, like, you know, we are all individuals, right? And we're all definitely shaped by our family, culture, whatever. But saying that everyone should take the same path, you know, no path is designed for any individual necessarily, right? They're sort of a general guideline, right? And, you know, growing up, for me, the messaging was always like, you know, go to university and you'll get a job based on what you went to university for. And then you'll get married and you'll have kids and that'll just be what you do. And not that I was ever, like, very pressured into that. My parents were always very, very lenient
Demoratic.
And told me just told me do what I want, and they believed that I would be fine regardless. But it took me learning about this job that I thought I wanted in high school, and then being like, no, that's not for me. I want to hang out and play music and be in bands and live in Vancouver. Okay, how can I make that work? well, I guess I'll work in restaurants. I guess I'll do XYZ to make that work. And then through that, I found that, oh, the thing that I really, you know, stuck with me through university was this radio station. Mm. Okay, maybe I should try to pursue that. And then I went to this radio program where I was like, well, I don't really want to do what they're suggesting, mm. but I still see how I can shape that into something that works for me. Mm. And I think that it's not that you can't take the path that's set out in front of you or mm. the path that's recommended for you, but I think that you shouldn't unquestioningly follow that path. I think that it's really important to see how you fit into that path, how you don't fit into that path,
right.
what forks in the road you might take,
yeah.
and that kind of thing to find what is really the best thing for you, because it's very rarely is it the same thing for any two people or the same path for any two people.
I guess there's no same thing, like
yeah.
for exactly two people, even they're twins, right? There's like differences, and we want to be special,
mm-hmm.
right? We want to be unique, I think, fundamentally. But what you said requires strong of critical thinking, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, so like I got educated in China, right? And I understand that before our education was more of like, you do this. Mm. You go through this Chinese SAT, and then you're fine.
And then you'll get this. And then if you do that, you'll get this. And then if you do
and then
this,
you get job.
You'll do this.
Yeah. Yeah, you get job at whatever time. Like, they have the time for you. And then you get married, and you have children. And then you
and
save
money. And then you
send
your kids to do the next thing.
And buy apartment yeah. and stuff. And then now, I think there's a turmoil happen mm-hmm. in life because of the technology. So it become like a mental and emotional turmoil personally or to everybody, where it's more like, oh wait, I feel so stressed. Why do I have to have children at this time? I'm not even able to survive myself, mm-hmm. right? Or like people really spend a lot of time putting to like apartment because the whole society tells you that the apartment is the best investment and mm-hmm. this is what you should do. And I understand that human beings are, how do you pronounce that word? Gregarious?
Gregarious, yeah.
Oh, great, great. Gregarious animals, right? So we do rely on the group feedbacks. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem if we actually followed it, right? Especially at the early stage. But I think now I saw so many people start to question this because the apartment no longer is the most secure investment for their life. So that made people think. And I think that's so good. And also, I think I see this as an opportunity for people like you and like us to glory, like to be glorious mm-hmm. or find our stage. Maybe it comes slowly, but then everybody started to realize that maybe I should just like follow myself.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of that comes from the rise in individualism, right? That has happened pretty solidly for the last couple hundred years, right? Across mm-hmm. across the world is a sort of shift from collectivism towards individualism, right?
Wait, I think that's in Western country only.
Sure, yeah. But I think you're talking even in China that like hasn't been as pronounced, but it is starting in that sense, right?
Correct.
And sort of a shorter timeline, we'll say.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of it is also recognizing that not everybody is made happy by the same things, right?
Mm.
Like this sort of like more traditional understanding as you were talking about of like, mm. okay, you do this, you get a family, you get a house,
mm.
you get marriage, whatever, and then that's what makes you happy.
Right.
Right? And then even sort of in Western thought also like, hey, if you get a whole bunch of money, you'll be happy, right? If you
right.
do whatever you can to just get as much money as possible, that's what'll make you happy.
Mm.
And I have found that obviously money is important because you need it to pay rent and to buy
yeah.
food and all of that, but it doesn't really make me happy. I don't need, like, I like the things that money allows me to do. I love to travel and all of that, but it's not as if my, like, I never think about, like, oh, have I hit this number yet?
Mm.
You know, when will I hit this number? For me, it's, am I making enough to be, you know, comfortable in the life that I have?
Mm.
You know, am I making enough that maybe one day I won't have to work?
Mm.
But I'm not like, oh, I need to, you know, I need to hit, you know, I need to get a six-figure salary or I'm not, or I'm a failure, right? Like,
mm.
I'm okay with the fact that here at a community radio station, I'm not ever going to make six figures.
Mm.
But that's fine because I, you know, I have the life that I want, and the work that I do here is, like, that's part of my compensation in a way, is sort of the way it makes me feel. Right.
I think this, you know, the Maslow hierarchy needs is basically describing the different layers of human needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically one of them on the sort of like up level is self-actualization.
Right.
That's actually the top level. So basically, is that people find it's very important if we don't starve no more. We find our shelters, we can pay for our food. Then you really wanted to chase something is that make you feel that your life is meaningful.
Totally.
Right. So I think that what you said is like so important. And I also have to say probably social media really, or this information era made that like message or like the barrier between different lives become just, I wouldn't say it completely disappeared, but then it does become very thin of the wall, right? So when we see other people who did get into marriage, did have this and that life, that's just the society told you to do, and then they come and then they're so courage, and I would say really nice to share that I'm not happy.
It's not what they expected, or it's not. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like that's really play a very important role for us to be like waking up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and seeing, you know, what makes other people happy, right? What doesn't make other people happy? And again, yeah, having this really sort of democratized or decentralized way of taking in information, where it's not necessarily just like your teachers or, you know, the evening news telling you this is what's important, this is what makes
yeah.
you happy. It's you get to hear it from all sorts of different people, like, well, you know, what the news told me would make me happy actually makes me sad. And maybe that's the case for you, or maybe it's not. But just even just being exposed to all those different perspectives broadens what you might think. And I think that that's also, you know, one of the great things about a space like this is just, you know, over the course of the 17 years that I've been here, the number of different perspectives and ideas and thoughts and personalities and all of that that I've been exposed to has really sort of opened my mind up about what's important, what people value, what I value, and all of that. So, yeah, I think it's really
It inspired me to think about this, or I just woken up to another level just in the last 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
where I realized that this is really like those people on the maybe like the top of the hierarchy design this thing, is that to drive us to work more, to be like a
definitely.
Better labor,
yep.
like 30s under 30s, like. Do you really have to be like rich and successful when you're at your 20s?
Right.
Charlie Munger didn't say that though. And you know, anyway, so I was like, yeah, like why? But then it does really makes us feel like, oh my God, I'm in such a huge rush because I want to be successful. I want to be admired. So I have to be on the magazine of 30 on the 30s, although I don't even know why that magazine matters. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, kudos to those folks who are successful that young. It takes a certain amount of a certain personality, a certain whatever, probably a certain amount of luck, all of that. But trying to measure yourself against that, I don't think that's helpful in any way, right? Like I think if anything it makes you feel inferior or inadequate or whatever. If that's, I mean, if that's your measure for success, there's a lot more than 30 people under 30, right? So like, are you that 0.0 0.001%? Maybe. And if not, that's okay, right? Like, not everyone. First of all, like, I don't know that it's really all that helpful to sort of rank yourself in that way and compare yourself to others beyond, well, just unless that's what works for you, but it doesn't work for me.
Well, I said that is because I realized I was one of these people.
Sure.
So that's why I feel like I'm very qualified to say this. It's not like I'm a little jealous, so I have to say something that's not good and make myself feel better. It's more like I went through the path where I didn't get this specific reason, so that's what I said. But then I was like a very my parents had a very low expectation to me. But then somehow I had a great luck to be able to continue my educational path, where I went a top school in the world, where I, like, my parents, my whole family did not expect that. But at that time I felt like, look at me. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I feel so full of myself. And do you know when I get really lost? Is that I get the most depressed and get very lost and confused after I graduate from the school, the first year or the first month I graduated from there. And I realized I got so lost because I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really bring me too much. And also, it does make me feel more like full of myself. I really went through a really, really, really dark time after that. And I realized it's just like, and I was in a huge conflict, like mental conflict, where I feel like I was up here, but where the reality doesn't really give me the feedback like that. And I don't know where to go. And also, like this philosopher said, you're like always, humans are always in between of feel boring or feel miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that's really what it is, right? You set a goal where the society tells you, and then you feel empty after you achieved it.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of these goals, whether it's like a university degree or starting a family or, you know, having a successful business or whatever that is, those are presented as, like, if you achieve this, you will be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's not automatic. Like, the only... that might be the case if that's what works for you, but
right.
just because you have accomplished this thing doesn't mean that you're going to be happy, right?
Sorry, I wanted to add something, is that you will be happy for a moment. And then
sure.
The dopamine
it's not lasting necessarily.
Yeah. I think from my experience, it normally lasts from 2 months to half in a year. That's
sure.
It. Half in a year is the max.
Well, and I think, you know, it lasts until it doesn't help you hit the next rung on the ladder,
or
until you discover that, you know, hitting that next rung on the ladder isn't actually important to you. So what use is this thing that I just accomplished, right?
And I would say one thing is that because you're already at this level on the ladder, so you cannot go back. So you feel more stressed. You have to keep climbing the ladder. Otherwise, you fall into that.
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of, what is that? The sunk cost fallacy, right?
Yes.
Where you're like, oh, I've spent all this time on this thing. I can't possibly just throw that away.
Right. Well, yeah, like before we head towards to the end and drop the conclusion of everything, every topic, let's listen to some bird ads where I love.
This is Bird Note. Many flowers roll out the red carpet for desired visitors like hummingbirds and bumblebees, with bright colors and petals that act as landing pads. But flowers are sometimes victims of nectar thieves, species that bypass the flower's intended route to nectar without picking up any pollen. Tennessee warblers might not look like crafty robbers. They're tiny yellowish songbirds with a white stripe over their eyes. But they specialize in hacking into flowers. With their short, sharp bills, they tap a hole into the flower's base and enjoy an easy meal as nectar drips out. Tennessee warblers do most of their nectar drinking in tropical forests on their wintering grounds. During the breeding season in North America, insects are their most important food source. In fact, these warblers may help protect trees from spruce budworm. When there's a budworm outbreak, Tennessee warblers eat almost nothing else. So these nectar thieves give back to their ecosystems in their own way. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Tom and Annalie Luman celebrate Bird Note with today's show. They believe Bird Note stories are a magical doorway to nature and all of its wonders.
Hello, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator. And I had such an amazing conversation with Jesse. And unfortunately, it's towards the end. And all right, let's say I would love to have Jesse come back and talk more. But for the end of today's episode, do you have anything to drop for our audiences, Jesse?
Do I have anything to drop? I do think there's definitely room for a part two. This conversation was a lot of fun, and it feels like we just got started. Mm. I do another radio show on CJSF on Thursday mornings, 10 a.m., so 6 hours earlier than this one. I don't know what that translates to for China. But
let me count it for you. It's 1 a.m.
Okay, so never mind.
People stay up late.
Yeah, and I do a local Vancouver music show on Sundays at 8 p.m. And that's sort of my other passion is local music. I used to be much more involved in going to shows and playing in bands, but these days I mostly just play music and talk about it.
Awesome. Like, I enjoyed it. I love our conversation, and there's a definitely part two or part three or four, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, feel free to come and check it out at cjsf.ca. If you're at Burnaby area, then please just tune in at 90.1 FM for CJSF. So we're going to have our barbecue tomorrow, and that's just one of our activities. So if you wanted to join and be part of the CJSF, just send us a message. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you, and this is Call Me Negotiator. I'll see you next time.